The Takedown MMA Radio, part of JaVu Media. Do you, JaVu?
You're listening to the Takedown MMA Radio. Keep it tuned in, bitches, or we will have to drop a beat down on your ass.
This is the Takedown, the ultimate in MMA Radio.
Off your phone.
All right.
That came from Stu, dude, so you know you need to get off your phone.
Yeah.
What's up, party people? What?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yes. I can hear you, unfortunately. Yeah.
When you talk into the mic, I can hear you. What's up?
Can you feel me?
It's Jay.
Stu.
Casey.
And we are here right before Thanksgiving. You guys are listening to this
a
full week after Thanksgiving, but this week's episode we're recording right before.
Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
Well, yes, I hope that you did.
That's a turkey.
Gobble, gobble.
That's a ham. Oink, oink.
Lots of mashed potatoes.
Macaroni and cheese.
Dude, see, there you go again, walking over it. See, there was the joke. Lots of turkey, gobble, gobble. Lots of ham, oink, oink. Lots of mashed potatoes. And then we were going to be quiet, but you, let's mac and cheese, get out. You're fired.
Can I have some mac and cheese?
No.
You can get a kick in the balls.
We weren't actually going to do an episode because it's Thanksgiving, but something happened. If you listen to last week's episode, we mentioned that we might have had a couple of interviews. Well, that's because we did get a couple of interviews, but one of them turned out to be
very, very long.
Well,
interview.
The idea was to go in and interview three separate people, and what you'll hear on this week's special edition is that
it's three people at the same time.
Yeah.
And so it ended up being about an hour, and we said, well, let's just...
Well, three people and a dog.
Yeah, which we'll get into, because I want to let people know if anybody's listening, when they listen to the interview, they're going to hear this noise throughout the whole thing, and they're going to be like, what is that? It's the dog, who was awesome. Enzo was...
Cool dog.
Enzo was
awesomest
his name.
Awesomest dog in the world.
He was a beautiful dog, was he not?
It's like 6 months, right?
Yeah. I think they said he was 6 months old.
Huge.
I'd hate to see him after a full year.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a big boy. But through most of the interview, he was chewing on a plastic cup. And then there was twice in the interview where he actually comes over and he gets a little friendly with the microphone. It's very small. And
it's towards the end where he actually passes out.
I tried to cut.
Why could that happen right at the beginning?
Well, he wanted to be part of it, too. He's part of the family.
Yeah. As you see in the picture on the Facebook posting, you'll see.
Yep.
But this week, what we ended up doing, like I said, special episode, but it ties in to last week's.
Right.
So, yeah, like Stu said, check out the Facebook and the Twitter and stuff because we have pictures to go along. Yeah, we do that whenever we can, by the way. Stu always posts whenever he has a picture of whoever we're talking
Something
to.
Something related to that
Week.
Episode.
Right. He does that on the Facebook. Also, want to mention our sponsor, Swollen Knuckles. Go over and check them out online. There is a link on thetakedownradio.com. Go over there and buy some stuff. Great guys. And we are going to be here very soon, I think. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn. But I believe they're going to send us something to give away on this show. So,
and I just recently posted a picture of me and my gi with the swollen knuckle patch on.
Yeah.
I even tagged him a couple times on it. I'm like, hey, there you go.
You're representing.
There's some advertisement for you, buddy.
We want to thank Swollen Knuckle for sponsoring the show. Awesome stuff. Like I said, this is one of those really cool things where we get a sponsor out of somebody we liked before. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, you hear that on shows and you wonder if it's true. No, it's true. Stu bought some of their clothes
two years before they became our sponsor.
No, it helped that the Swollen Knuckle girls were hot.
They are good looking. That is for sure.
I hope it's not his wife or girlfriend. I'm sorry.
And speaking of which, speaking of hot girls, Ariane Celeste is the cover girl for Sports Illustrated.
Oh, Right, yes. That up tomorrow.
Yeah. If you guys, I think it's out. It might be out. Hey, if you buy it at the newsstands too, you get a free calendar too.
Whoa, getting
yeah,
it.
So there you go. Mm. Yeah, Ariane Celeste to bring it to some UFC. Ariane Celeste is this month, or I don't know, how often do they do it now?
Year.
I guess it's the
Is it a swimsuit? No, that's
wait, maybe it's Maxim. Hold on. Maybe it's Maxim that she's
Maxim's even better.
Yeah.
Speaking of sponsors, give a shout out to Deanna Dean at Karate Up for hooking us up with some rash guards and the cowboy hat that's never been out in public.
I'm gonna bring it.
Oh, the cowboy hat.
Yeah. Every time we ask, where's the cowboy hat?
I said Sports Illustrated, people. It is definitely Maxim. Maxim.
Even better.
Yeah, I apologize. And if you buy it on newsstands this month, oh my good lord, she looks fantastic in it too.
Too bad you can't see.
2003. What is that?
I'm on Maxim's site. There was a little ad running. If you buy it, it's only it's like $1 something or something. I don't know how much. No, they if you get them through mail, it's like $1.09 an issue if you get it that way. But anyway, if you buy it through the newsstands, you get a free calendar. And I am looking at the man. She's got gorgeous eyes. I'm looking
at. Is that what you're looking at?
No, she really does. She has very very pretty eyes.
She's got pretty other things too.
I get what you're saying. She's got big eyes. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, if you buy it from the newsstand, you get a free calendar. So Stu's going to be picking that up.
Yep, tomorrow.
And a bottle of lotion.
Maybe.
maybe not.
But as I was saying, Deanna Dean at Karate Up.
We would really want to thank Deanna Dean.
Yes, thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Not an official sponsor. We just really dig her. And she sent us some cool stuff. We met her at Challenge of the Champions. And she's got some great gear. And there is a link to her stuff on our website because she sent us free stuff. And,
I love the hat, despite the fact that I haven't worn it.
Well, we haven't been to any, Bellator. You should have worn it to Bellator. Yeah. And you didn't, and you wish you had.
His doppelganger was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black dude in a white cowboy hat. What the F?
Well, it wasn't exactly white. It was kind of like a...
Close enough.
Tan.
Close enough.
Yeah.
But a big shout out to Brett Ashley at Addison Sports Management and Media
for all the hookups he's given us.
On
and that he does pertain to this week. Yeah, absolutely.
He is the manager of Zoila Jajel.
Well, I want to, because I keep forgetting to do this, and we'll get right back on that. I also want to thank our man Skiznot. We should do that more often, and I just forget.
Skiznot
is the genius behind our opening
a musical
theme song.
Genius.
And we just really appreciate what he does. Again, over at TakedownRadio.com, if you go to our links page, look for Skiz World.
Check him out.
He does a blog and stuff. He's a great guy. But Stu was saying we want to thank Brett Ashley. Let's go ahead and basically tell everybody this week's show, this week's episode, we have an interview. We wanted to sit down with Zoila Jajel because we talked to Jessica I. And they're going to be fighting.
Jessica Evil I.
And we figured while we were talking to Zoila Jajel, we would also try to get in a conversation with George Jajel.
Why not?
Which we did. But also there
was little sister, Stephanie Frosto.
Stephanie Frosto, who fights with Invicta.
Hey!
So we didn't get to talk to her a whole lot.
She piped up a little bit a couple times.
We tried to get her. But we ended up sitting down with all three, and it was really great. It took, like I said, it's about an hour, the entire interview. But like Stu said, we really want to thank Brett Ashley for help.
Not only Zoila, but many of the other girls that we have interviewed in the past.
Right. And Brett.
In the future.
And we've interviewed Brett, and we'll have him back on the show again at some point as well.
Actually, I'd like to catch up with him right before the next Invicta, which I have actually heard dates of January 5th. And
see, I got to up his levels again.
It's the same...
Your levels...
It's the same spot.
Compared
now
to everyone else's levels, it's through to, it's amazing. I don't know why it is, but your levels compared to everybody else's, I have to up all the way. I don't know why, but I do.
I don't know.
Because you don't talk like that. When you do that, you blow us
out
of the water.
I don't blow Mike.
I'm sure he's upset.
Mm-hmm.
We are recording this on the 21st, so I just want to warn everybody we have exactly 1 month before the world ends. which actually isn't even a true prediction, but you should listen to as many episodes of the show as you can.
They supposedly that they found another Mayan calendar that goes past December 21st.
To get off on a complete tangent, the Mayans never said the world was going to end on December 21st.
They found another Mayan calendar past the
actually 21st. That's not a new. There's actually multiple Mayan calendars.
This one's got kittens and puppies on it.
Awesome.
Oh, was it on YouTube? The Mayan version?
It was on NPR.
There actually are multiple Mayan calendars, and the Mayans never predicted the end of the world. They predicted a great change. A dude many, many years ago said that, and it has hung on ever since. But
Nostradamus, I mean, he's been more dead on than the Mayan calendar.
Some of his stuff is twisted to make it sound like he had. You hear the predictions that actually sound accurate, which you don't hear all the ones that don't. But for all of those out there who are out there worrying, just look over the history at the number of times that people have predicted the end of the world and it didn't happen. But it could, so y'all need to listen to as many episodes of The Takedown as you can before it happens. But
and wish our friend Mike a happy birthday.
Yeah, that's why it's going to be the end of the world. Our friend Mike's birthday is the 21st, and it's just going to end everything.
It's all his fault.
But it can't happen, and do you know why? Because Dana White has come out and said that Anderson Silva will be fighting George St. Pierre probably in May. So, can't have the end of the world till that happens.
Did you see the after effects of the them guys? Or after pictures of them two?
You talking about Condit and St. Pierre?
Oh, my God. They look like they'd been through a war.
It was an amazing fight. You know, we know it already happened. But
we already knew that by the end of that fight, it was the fight of the night.
When I hear people talk about Condit and they're like, oh, he almost won. No, he didn't. He never came close to he did. Okay, I take that back.
In
for a few
round.
Seconds. But he didn't even win the round. He got a lead off that kick.
Yeah.
And he lost it so fast that he didn't keep the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And Condit is a hell of a fighter, and he did a great job.
Well, in his defense, he did lose a lot of blood.
He lost a lot. He's a little woozy.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I know that Condit started losing blood first, but I'm wondering who lost the most. Because after a while, Pierre was bleeding out too.
Yeah. And he had that big
knock
on the noggin. So,
I said, did you see the after pictures of it? Because it's going to show St. Pierre all beat up, and he's got a giant ice pack on his forehead like this. It looks like he's been through, hell.
So come to the question now, now that Dana White has said that, and we knew this, but Anderson Silva and George St. Pierre are going to be fighting, but he says likely it'll happen in May. What are your guys' predictions? I mean, what do you think of this fight? Who do you think is going to win, Silver?
I'm hoping for George St. Pierre. George St. Pierre.
Honestly, I can't tell.
You know, I would have told you Silva up until this point, but St. Pierre is a... I don't know, man. I don't know.
As I came into this fight, I like them both. It's hard to judge.
Yeah, I tell you what, it could either be fast or it could be one awesome fight. You never know what's going to happen, but I'm looking forward to it.
Most of Pierre's fights that I've seen have always been quick, but this is the longest drawn out one I've seen. So, I had fun watching this fight.
Oh, I did too. The card up until the main event, the co-main event, that really was kind of boring. Not a lot going on. The co-main event was great, and the main event was great. I was a little bored up to that point. We were having a good time.
43-second knockout. What the F? That was beautiful knockout, too. It's a hell of a combo.
I love him, though, dude. It's the beard. It's the beard that gives the
Hendrix
power.
Hendrix is
I love him. He's notorious for his knockouts. It's not... You know,
and you know what he said at in the after interview? He said he just came up with that combo a week before.
Yeah, I remember hearing that.
I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I was like,
it was a beautiful knockout. I had a good time. We were out with some friends and sitting at Dave and Buster's. Had me a $7 freaking beer. Oh, my good Lord. I didn't know it was going to cost that much when I got it. That beer was $7.
Yep. Yeah,
it was good,
beer.
Though.
Yeah.
That's why I got iced tea.
And we're sitting with some friends and cutting up and joking and just had a really good time. So up till I thought the fights were kind of boring up to that point. But
yeah, that Hendrix fight, I did not expect that at all.
But it was great.
It was a good fight.
With that said, Bellator 84 coming up in Hammond, Indiana. It's right by Chicago. If you're going to be in the area, let us know. Please
say
let
hi.
Us know. There's going to be
our bodyguards.
Quite a few of us out there, yeah. Here, Hammond's kind of a rough place.
Yeah.
We booked a room at every hotel I went to, all the customer, everyone. I mean, I probably looked at 7 hotels, and every customer review is like, not the best neighborhood. But the one we're actually going to, somebody actually said, this room felt safe to me. The doors were nice and sturdy. I'm like, ah, sold. I was like, I like that.
We're not actually going to be in there that much.
We won't be in the room a whole lot. It's going to be December the 14th in Hammond, Indiana. Again, that's right by Chicago.
Well, most of our valuables are going to be in the car with us or when we're sleeping. So we're all right.
So if you're in the area, let us know you're going to be in the area or let us know a good place to go out there. We're going to hit up some places after the fight.
Part of me is a little scared.
Two out of three that know martial arts is all right.
Yeah. Three out of four, dude. Well, Randy knows a little.
When he shows up.
And one of the poor boys been working every night.
Has he?
Yeah, he can't. Mm-hmm. He's been working 6 days a week, and he's been working till about six every night. So, yeah, that's why he hasn't been making it. Rob White, Rob the Enforcer White's going to be making his debut. This dude is a royal badass. We're excited about it. We've been working with him, and I want everybody to pay attention. The video will probably already be out there, so you can find it on through our Facebook or through our YouTube, which is Javuniverse, J-A-V-U-niverse, on YouTube.
Wow, you made it difficult.
Javuniverse? That's hard. It's Javuniverse. It's J-A-V-Universe.
Okay.
Javuniverse, though. I've been thinking about setting up a takedown YouTube, but I don't know. It just seems like, why have two when I don't need it? But
you should.
You can find the links. There'll be a commercial for Rob. The T-shirts, I don't know what the... I think we're going to be selling them, I think.
I think the goal is
and they
if you buy a ticket through the Re-Academy, you will get one free.
Or you can just probably buy one of the shirts or whatever.
You can buy them separately, I believe.
Right.
Since it is kind of a distance from... the actual hometown to where the fight actually is happening, so I think that's why they're going to sell them
because it's quite a distance. But I think they're going to sell them separately. And this is we designed these shirts over here, and it's been a joint collaboration the three of us, and they look fantastic. We've had a lot of people comment about how good they look, and
I'm excited
about it. Yeah, it's going to turn out really well. For information on that, though, you can you can contact us, or you can go through. You can call the Reed Academy, 513-874-5509.
I believe so, yes.
I think that's right. Or just go to reedacademy.com. That's two E's. And you can get information through them. And the phone number and everything's up there as well. But like I said, this week we do have like a special hour-long interview with Zoila Jajel, George Jajel, and Stephanie
Frosto.
I always want to say Fausto, and I always forget the R, and then I'm like, no, it's
Frosto.
Yeah, Frosto. And so three fighters. You may know who George is. George works with Rich Franklin. He's also a fighter himself. He fought for the UFC.
Well, he's also got a pro fighter, Tommy Hayden, that's fairly new to the UFC as well.
Yeah, and
you don't see him too much because he's like not like an iconic character, but he is fairly known.
Well, and he also was on... Ultimate Fighter TV show. Season 2, something like that. He's the crazy guy, and we mentioned this in the interview, who gets in the cage and fights even though he's got a torn ACL.
MCL.
Right. So you may know who he is. You may not. You will.
Zoila Bellator.
Yeah, Zoila
Bellator.
Fights at Bellator. She
the warrior
is the
princess.
115-pound champ at Bellator.
And then you got Stephanie Frosto for Invicta.
Who just won at Invicta, and she mentions we ask her about Invicta, and she'll be fighting again, and I think she tells you approximately when that's going to be.
Either she did or
George did. George did, and I think she pipes in and does as well. I don't know, anything else that we need to mention before we go into the interview? I can't think. So it's gonna be over an hour show, but it's not going to be. We typically do about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes this week. It's, again, for us, it's Thanksgiving weekend, and my brother, I just want to say my brother, don't know if you guys saw him on the news, but my brother just got back from Afghanistan. He's been there for a year.
Woo!
So pretty exciting. Welcome back, Adam. We missed you. came back safe and sound. So he just got back, and after we do this week's episode, we're actually going to head over and say hi. I haven't seen him yet. But he was on the news. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah?
Fox 19, I think, when he got back, his kids didn't know he was home, and he went to their school and was waiting for him. And yeah, it was pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
But perfect timing for us. It's right before Thanksgiving, so, you know.
Yeah, it's actually sooner than we expected because we all thought he was going to be in
early
December.
Early December, yeah. So he got back about 3 weeks
early. Just in time. So.
And they had a good time, too.
Yeah, I actually knew he was back for a while, but I wasn't allowed to tell anybody. So.
Well, back in the States.
Yeah, he's been at Fort Hood in Texas for about a week. So, anyway.
Are we doing a cage report this week?
Nah, probably not. Unless you really... Do you want to do a cage this week?
Do you got a bunch of information?
Not really, you know, nothing so far unless Camacho dies.
Well, if we do happen to have a cage report, it'll be after this.
Yeah, he already has, so...
yeah, it's not looking good.
Guys, I'll surprise you. There'll either be a cage report here, or there won't. We don't know. See, you guys, we've just let you behind the curtains because you didn't know this. Those cage reports are always recorded after the show. And you guys,
almost a week after,
yeah,
too.
Those are always what hold up the show the most. See, the show comes out on Thursdays. I'm ready on, like, Tuesday, but I'm always waiting for Casey.
So if you guys want, write
Casey Takedown. Not at Takedowns. KCTakedown@gmail.com.
And yell at him to hurry up with his cage reports.
They won't. They won't, and they won't call. Nope. But in case they do, there's a way you can go about that.
Want to get in touch with us? We can make that happen. You can email us.
TakedownShow@gmail.com.
We highly recommend you do that. Tell us about any events you might have coming up. We'll gladly mention them here on the show. Maybe you just want to call us. Well, we got a number.
Use it.
513-407-4849. Leave us a message. We might just play it if we like it. So go ahead. Contact us.
We dare you.
The Takedown MMA Radio. TheTakedownRadio.com. And now, KC Masterpiece presents to you The Cage Report. Sit back. It's bound to be a bumpy ass ride.
Hello, folks. It's time for another exciting cage report. Now, here's the news you all can use. Look out, Anderson Silva and Steven Seagal, because the muscle from Brussels is hanging out with George St. Pierre. That's right, folks. Jean-Claude Van Damme is now a part-time instructor for GSP, and he just released a video on Facebook to prove it. In the video, Van Damme and St. Pierre are sparring with one another while clips of Jean-Claude's old movies are playing in between different sparring sessions. Now, let's hope for a Chuck Norris-John Jones team-up to help make the circle complete. Russian MMA fighter Razul Mirzayev walked out of a courtroom in Moscow on Monday after being convicted for killing a student. Mirzayev received 2 years in prison for causing death by negligence, but was released immediately for time already being served. The murder in question took place after 19-year-old Ivan Agavanov was punched in the face by Mirzayev and hit his head against a drain cover as he fell onto the ground. Not a smart move. Wrestling icon Kenny Monday is starting a new MMA promotion company with former Strike Force matchmaker Rich Chow. The new company will be called Battlegrounds, and Kenny has a lot to say about his newest venture. I'm very excited about Battlegrounds, said Monday. It came together through the work of Brian O'Rourke, Rich Chow, and some others. Those guys are really into the game and are doing a lot of good things promoting the fights. Since the time I fought in 98, I've always been interested and had my nose to the ground, especially watching my friends like Dan Severn compete. I don't fight anymore, but I still coach wrestling, so I really couldn't go full-time into MMA, but I really wanted to find a niche, a way I could contribute to the sport. I do train guys from time to time. They'll come to me before their fights and want to get some work in. Battlegrounds, I found that niche. It's going to be a great opportunity for a lot of fighters. and I'm really excited about going forward with it. If you put on a great show with good fighters and good competition, it'll be successful. That's what people want to see, great competition. MMA has been around long enough for us to learn from others' mistakes. We've seen the right way to do it, and we've seen some of the wrong ways to do it. You just gotta keep things simple and focus on the competition's aspect. Can't wait to see the first fight. Speaking of fight promotions, Bellator CEO Bjorn Rebney has announced a new fight clause that will give him the ability to book title fight rematches. When a fighter's earned a shot at the world's title by winning the toughest tournament in sports and competes in a title fight that knocks fans like us back in our seats, win or lose, delivering an incredible fight when a rematch is called for, we deliver it. He wrote on Bellator.com, championship fights give us some of the greatest moments in MMA, and rematches of incredible championships will give fans like us more of those electrifying moments, while staying true to the world's best fighters, having had to earn their way to those title shots. Well, that's it for the Cage Report. If you have any news for your pal KC, hit me up at kctakedown@gmail.com. Until next week, smell you later.
All right, so before we go into the actual interview, which is about to happen, I just want to kind of give everybody kind of a... Since there were so many people, I just set the mic in the room. You'll hear everybody just fine, but there's a little room noise, you know, just kind of clear that up. And again, we mentioned the dog, Enzo, who was awesome, but he is chewing on something in the background the whole time. It is not overpowering. It won't take over.
And he's such a good dog.
Yeah. It won't take over, but in case you hear a clicking noise every once in a while throughout, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But again, we really thank George and Stephanie and Zoila for taking some time. Last Saturday, we went in and we watched. They had an amateur amateur tryouts. We watched that. They put these guys through their paces for 2 hours straight, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. A lot of puking.
It was some puking, and they ended up taking on three fighters. And I think we talk about it a little bit in the interview. I don't think we get real in depth, but did we ask him in the interview you can find more about him? I think we did. So, but their gym is located in Westchester, Ohio. So if anybody's in the area and you're looking to become an MMA fighter, you can check them out. But let's go ahead and kick off our interview with George Jigel, Zoila Jigel, and Stephanie Frausto.
All right.
What first got you interested in the martial arts?
Oh man, I did Taekwondo when I was younger. I did a lot of that. The competition was, I liked competition a lot. But when my parents got divorced, I kind of got away from that and started to like play soccer. I ran. I've been an athlete my entire life, so I've always been into every type of competition that I possibly could be. Throughout high school and college, I played soccer. I was really competitive at that. But it just wasn't, at the end of the time that I played in college, it wasn't combative. It wasn't what I wanted. I wanted something more, and it just wasn't competitive enough for me anymore. It was too much of a, you know, a team. I mean, I loved to play with teams, but it wasn't exactly, I was looking for something more. So, I got into boxing, and then from there, it just went from boxing to Muay Thai, and it was just... Like, within a few months, I was fighting, and then within a year, I was fighting pro. It just all happened really fast. So, sorry. Turn it off.
And you debuted in 2009 in MMA, is that correct?
Yeah,
that
it was right? February 2009. I think so.
And you kind of came in, you just started steamrolling through people, like, one right after the other, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was, like, one... I would fight, like, once, and then, boom, the next month or 2 months later, I would fight again. It was just, like, one right after another. And this was going straight from, I did boxing for, like, 2 weeks, and then I started doing Muay Thai. And it was just all straight Muay Thai for close to a year. You know, I barely touched any wrestling or any jiu-jitsu at that. Before my pro fight, they were just like, oh, you're strong enough to pop up from the ground, so you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And my first five fights, that's how they all were, you know. Nobody was able to keep me on the ground, so I was like... I don't need to learn this stuff, you know. But by the time I got to that, I think it was fifth or sixth fight when I fought Tate. It was just I got to the ground. And I was like, "What the hell is going on? I don't even know where to put my hands." Like I was like, "I need something else. This is not." It was the first loss that I had. I couldn't believe it. I didn't like the feeling of losing at all. So I worked my ass off to learn more. And I jumped into wrestling.
Is there any chew there?
Jumped into wrestling, and then from there I met him, and then the rest is pretty much history.
So like you said, you went through, I mean, you were tearing through people up until you got to Tate.
Yeah.
And we'll say finally lost, because at that point, I mean, seriously, like I said, there's just nobody was coming close.
Yeah.
I mean, when that happened, in the back of your head, though, I mean, it had to be, you had to know, it's just a minor set. But I mean, up until that point, your record spoke for itself. You had to know.
Yeah. I mean, I knew going into almost every fight that I was going to be, because I've always been athletic, and I've always been competitive, and for me it was like nobody can beat me, and I've always had that mentality. I've always had that, and by the time I got to Tate, it was like, okay, well, I'm better than her standing up, but when we got to the ground, I was like in a completely different world. It was like, I need to do something else, obviously, you know. And so I jumped into wrestling, and
so you just took it as a learning experience and moved on, and
that was it. I knew that I had to. I knew in order to be successful the way that I wanted to be in MMA, that I had to take everything in as a mixed martial art, not just striking.
And it worked. What's your record now? 12-1.
12.
Is that right? 12-1.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Now, when did you first get involved in the Bellator?
Bellator, I actually just started seeing him. It was after that, after the Tate fight, I ended up fighting again, another wrestler, Michelle Old. I ended up beating her, and then I had met him, Strikeforce. It was my fourth fight before Tate, and I just kind of saw him. He made a comment on my skirt, and everybody knows the story pretty much. But I ended up like saying something smart back to him, and then we didn't see each other until... and we spotted each other in Vegas. We got to talking, and then I ended up flying out here to Cincinnati. While I was out here, I got a call from Bellator.
You just flew out here, right?
Yeah, I just flew out here.
Just to visit Ohio.
Well, it was to visit him. Come on. Hello. No, it was not that at all. It was because I wanted to learn jiu-jitsu, and it would be free. So... No, but I mean, it was... I was interested, of course. Come on now. I married you. Of course I was interested. And so I came out here, and then by the time I was out here, we got that call from Bellator, you know? So we got that call from Bellator to fight Rosie Sexton. That was before the tournament. She was scheduled to fight in the tournament, but I was supposed to be like a warm-up fight for her at 120. So I was like,
yeah, that didn't work so well.
I'll take it. So I started training here. I was like, it was perfect places to get started was here, because I didn't have any ground, didn't have any wrestling. So I figured I can better it here.
If I didn't even make it out of round one, that it was like knockout.
Yeah,
in
it was like two
couple
minutes.
Of minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. I went in there and I did what I do best.
Nice. Yeah. You were already here, weren't you, baby?
Yeah, we were here.
You stay out, train for the fight.
I started my camp here. Ended up going back to California for a little bit, and then I came right back.
Yeah.
And really? Then by the time that happened, then that's when they were like, well, she can't really be in the tournament anymore because of the the suspension. So they asked me if I wanted to be in the tournament, and I was like, oh, 5 extra pounds. Okay, I can do it, but it was hell on earth.
So what was it like when you, you go up against, make sure I say these names right, is it Megumi Fuji? Is that how you pronounce
it? Yeah, it was, the first one was Panay, the next one was Aguilar, and then the last one was Fuji. I knew going into that tournament that all the girls that I was going to face were way more experienced than I was. I'd only been fighting for, I think maybe up to a year by that time. Not even a year.
Wow.
And I knew that the only way that I was going to beat these girls were to be a bully, you know, and with my athleticism and my striking, because every single girl that I fought had amazing ground game, you know, and I had still close to zero at that point. So I just went in there as if I can cut the weight, and I will cut the weight, you know, that and go in there as healthy, as strong as I possibly can. I keep these girls off of me, tag them a little bit, hopefully put any of them away, then I knew that I had a pretty good chance, because I was going in there, it was going to be a lot bigger than all these girls. So and that's what I did. I mean, I squeaked by, but I did exactly what I had to do to win.
Are you married, see, you married George back in 2011. Let's be honest. Was it because of the free training?
Well,
rephrase the question.
If you see my ground game now,
free everything.
If you see my ground game now compared to then you would understand. No, yeah, it all happened so fast. I fell in love with him, and it was just it just
clicked.
It just all happened so fast. It was so weird. Like everything was perfect.
We never dated.
Here, yeah, it was just.
She came here straight to living together.
Yeah, when I came here, it was initially just to to meet him, get to know him, and train a little bit. And when I did that, I ended up getting that call from Bellator, and it was like, okay, well, can I start my training camp here? Would you like to coach me and that type of thing, or could you?
I offered it. I said, I'll coach you for this fight. Will you? I'm like, yeah.
And then from there, it just went straight into training camp, and then boom, right straight into the tournament. And we figured we would the health of that tournament. And if he could stick with me through that, it was like it was amazing for me to be able to see somebody do that.
Yeah, I don't understand how I did it either. I had no daughters, I had no intentions of dating anybody. I had no intentions of falling in love. Having my life planned out, laid out completely for my bachelorism forever.
And on the other hand, I had my life planned out too. I had everything taken care of in California. Yep. I was getting ready to move to San Diego with my sister. I had a great job. I was making great money. I was fighting part time, full time, going into full time. I was my own person. I was doing things that I wanted to do. So
just boom.
And then for both of us, it's just like, what the hell? This hit us both, like, by surprise. We were just like, damn, yep.
Stuck in a hot.
We're stuck with each other forever. So, but I have no complaints, I mean, there's not really much to do here, but I'm doing what I love to do, and that's it.
Now, George is quite the MMA practitioner, and how has his influence in your fighting and training changed all since you've been together?
His influence is amazing. It's like having this great mind with you, and it's hard to explain. He's always there. He's been in this game for so long, and he knows so much about it in and out when it comes to the mind game of MMA, when it comes to coaching, when it comes to knowing each fighter and how to coach them. He's been an amazing coach for everybody here. You can ask anybody that he's ever coached. And to have him in my ear every day and motivating me and making it just made so much sense. It just made me better as a fighter, as a person, as just completely as an athlete, and I have no complaints.
Now, we mentioned Misha Tate earlier, and you just made your comeback after what you were off over a year, is that?
19 or 20 months.
Wow. And I know Misha Tate came out and said she felt like you deserved a little better than you were getting. She was pretty outspoken about it. You didn't really say a lot about it, though.
I didn't have much to say about it. At that point, there had been so much talk. Especially when it comes to women's MMA, women and the media, everybody just gets nasty. When it comes to fights and everybody wants to criticize different fights or fighters. And I was tired of listening to that. I was tired of playing into that. And all I wanted to do, especially after being out for so long and having an injury, was fight. And I don't want to have to deal with, doing an interview here, doing an interview there about, what do I think about it? And how do I feel about what Bellator is doing to me? And to me, at that point, it was just like, God, I am here, thank you, and I just want to fight, and that's it. I don't care eventually, it's going to be on TV, eventually, when I show the world what I can do, I'm going to be where I need to be, and that's where we stand right now, this next fight is going to be live on MTV2, and the whole world's going to get to see it, so I had zero complaints. All I wanted to concentrate on doing was fighting. I had been out for 19, 20 months, didn't know exactly how it was going to go. It had been a long time. I learned so much more. I felt a lot better. My mind was in a good place, and I didn't want to ruin that or have to deal with people saying this and that and criticizing this and that. And, I just want to fight. I'm a fighter, and that's all I wanted to do. I didn't want to have to deal or worry about anything else.
And how's the injury doing? You feeling?
It's amazing. My knees never felt this strong. Like, even before the surgery, It always felt, because I played soccer for so long that my knees have always been a little funny, sure. and running cross country, running for years of my life, they've always felt a little weird. But after that had happened, it just made my knee like super strong. In that fight, she had me like in a knee bar too, and I was just like, don't do that. That's not fun. But by the time I got out of that fight, I was like, it holds up pretty well. Like, I'm good. So my knees more than 100%. It's really good.
Now, December 7th, you're going to be going up against Jessica I. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about her? I mean, as far as what you know about her, and are you feel like you're ready to climb in that cage with her?
Is she? You know, I'm ready. I'm ready for anything. It doesn't matter what her name is. It doesn't matter who they give me now at this point in my career. It doesn't matter at all. It's, are they going to be ready for me? I don't think about it the other way around. You know, she's a good fighter. You know, I've watched all of her last fights. I know I have a fight on my hands. You know, I know she's a tough fighter, but the person that I am today, the athlete that I am, the fighter that I am, the mind, the physical part, everything about me is complete. And I don't see any way, I don't see anybody beating me right now. And that's it. I'm not worried about anything she's going to do. I know she's a tough fighter, and I have a fight on my hands, but I don't see me coming out any other way but win.
See, now from our perspective, we're just looking forward to it because yeah. We love that, you know, the better the fight, the more fun it is for us to get to watch, and we're really looking forward to it. We had a few minutes to get to kind of watch you out there train a little bit. I would not want to be hit by you. I can. We were talking about
just
that.
Cracking those.
Good Lord, man. I was telling these guys, I said, just your form was almost flawless. It was a beautiful thing to watch, and I said, just. And just think, she's just training right now. Imagine that thing coming at you full force. I wouldn't want it. So it's going to be great to watch.
I've become a completely different fighter, and for me, it's I'm trying to perfect all these things too. It's I want to be better. I can always be better. I can always be better. And by the time I get out there, I'm going to be able to put that all out there. You know, it's just I've been training to do this for a while. You know, and it's a perfect opponent to do it against.
Zoda. It's very important for you guys to know, everybody to know that Zoda is accomplished a lot in MMA with very little time in the sport. So she's green to a lot of stuff. She has to be retrained to learn things still. And she's already the world champion. She's already ranked. She has the belt already, but she has so much catching up to do. What do you attribute that to? This is the first. Out of 13 fights, this is the fight number 14, the first real, true, championship-like training camp she's ever had. Her whole entire training camp was losing weight in the treadmill, trying to make 115 pounds, and she beat all those girls. Making 115 pounds. Her training camp was repetition a little bit of pad work, hot yoga to lose weight, drink water, and 11 o'clock she'd be at Urban Academic College Street for 2 hours in a sauna suit, walking around, like delusional to lose weight to make 115 pounds. Last fight, she had a mediocre camp because she's been studying jiu-jitsu with me daily for the last, you know, since she could move with her knee. So she was doing a lot of jiu-jitsu and she stayed here. But this camp, this one for Jessica, this is a camp. She has the best coaches. She has the best boxing coach there is around here. She has Paul Bowers, which is who I use for overall MMA game and Muay Thai and kickboxing. And, it's that good old stuff, like everybody needs me and uses me as a coach, but it comes a point in time where we sleep in the same bed, we drive in the same car, we eat in the same restaurants and the same food. So that a lot of times my voice is not as effective as the other coaches. So what did we do? We got the two best skilled coaches and also the two best motivators there are. There's a big difference between training a man makes martial artists professional and training a woman. You got to know the difference. If you do not know the difference or learn the difference, you will fail and the relationship with that fighter is going to end. And I had to learn from her talking to me, that she doesn't respond the way I talk to the guys. So I learned how to talk to my wife. At the beginning, she learned to listen. She listened to everything. It was the beginning stage. Anybody can listen. And anybody can listen. But now, I have to really, really be very, very meticulous about how I use it, how I approach the game. So what do? I got two best coaches I know that have the loudest voices and motivator, and she listens, and I talk to them behind me. She's not looking, and they yell at her. And the productivity of her training camp has tripled. She's doing 300%. Like, when she's here, she looked better here right now than yesterday in Michigan. When she was yesterday in Michigan, she looked better than she was last week here. Every time she comes here, she's better. Every time she goes back to Michigan, she's better. So this thing that we came up with about why would I create the best quality training facility for mixed martial artists in the Midwest is this place. I created this place. Why would I take my wife out of it to go train somewhere else?
Right.
You know, that's what she needed. It was not producing here. She wasn't feeling it. She wasn't. And now she's here tired after CrossFit. She had done a very, very hard workout. And she was hitting mitts and boxing coach and my other Sam, the guy I was sparring, said, I've never seen Zoila hitting that hard and that fast. And I'll tell you guys, I haven't seen that either. It's in her mind. Women's MMA is a lot. Women's in general is all a lot more here than the body. And if you know how to manipulate a woman with talent, she's more dangerous than any man. You know, and she has the talent. And now we know how to manipulate her mind to get her just right to get up in the cage wanting to kill someone. And that's exactly how I want her. So I stepped back. I put two coaches up front. And she is, you saw what she was doing out there.
Yeah.
Wait three more weeks and see what's going to happen to the other girl.
So be honest. Are you afraid of her?
Come on. You want me to be honest?
We were talking about out there.
Yes, you want me to be honest? Or you want me to say I'm afraid of her?
They just solve everything that way.
No, we are actually a little more civilized than we look.
We talk
a lot.
That's good.
And sometimes she likes to scream. I don't scream ever.
I don't scream. I raise my voice a little bit when I want to be heard.
Yeah. And then I just kind of let her talk. And then it smooths out and it's all good.
And I'm Mexican. I have that like fire in me. You have to
let it out every now and then. But we get along. It's like even Bubu, you know, Stephanie, she lives with us. Like, it's a family of us. It's not only like me and my wife. Like, I never... As soon as I don't think we were married. As soon as we got married, she started going, well, I have a sister. I'm like, oh, really?
That was before we got married.
She fights just like me, and she's just like me. And I don't know if I'm going to move here, if I'm becoming. She would really like to if she came here and saw the different training, George. She doesn't know California. Here, everything is structured. I think she should come visit, you know? And I'm like, this was right away, guys. I had just started dating this girl. I didn't even want a girlfriend. Not only had a girlfriend, a little bit later, Minnesota showed up too. All the back bags and everything, say hi.
You didn't want a girlfriend?
Whatever. You guys asked me to come.
So she came in, and it's perfect. I'm like, I never had a little sister, and they are so good for each other. Like, I let her have girls' night all the time. I stay with the dog because... They need that. You know, we stayed together. Like yesterday, they went to the movies together. We went to get dinner together. I stayed at home. When she's having a bad day, when she's training, when she needs something, she's always there. When she's training, when she needs something, she needs to be motivated, picked up, she's always there. So right off, like 6 months of living together, I realized they are better with each other. So I can't have Stephanie in California and Zoila here because they won't be the same fighters and they won't be the same people. I realize how much they are connected, you know. They even look alike, they fight alike, they punch like the same, everything is the same. And I'm like, I talk to Stephanie, it's all love and it's all nice. There's not one mean bone in her body. And I'm like, you know what, come and live with us. And now there's the fourth member here. We got a son, it's Enzo. And tell you what, I've never been this broken. I've never been this happy in my life. I've never been this broken, this happy. And it's perfect. We know what we need. When it's time for her to fight, it's her priority. So we make sure that she got everything she needs. Everything in the house, you know, it's organized to its perfection. So we all know our roles, what we need to do in the house. This is a fighter house. So we eat the same food. We have a juicer. We like to watch the same movies. We like to do the same things because we usually exhaust at the same time. So we're laying usually in the same room with the same dog, watching the same movie. We do everything together. And we train together. Sunday we go to church, and if we go exercise, we go to the movie. We eat sushi. Our favorite food is the same. Everything is the same. So it's a big old happy fighting family.
Your cheat day the same too?
It's the same. How do you know that? Everybody starts to laugh. Yeah, I can eat, and it's the same. And we go have a cheat meal too. Yeah, We got to check the belt so we can find the first.
We're all in a coma after that.
Well, it's time for us to go ahead and cheat. We go on the phone and check the belt in the account. I'm like, we can spend $2,000.
Make a trip to the Cheesecake Factory.
Oh,
like
anything, pizza.
Pizza. Go yellow mushroom is now here, so we have a cheat day a week usually.
Where my wife just went today, actually, with my... My stepmom, it's her birthday, and they went to the Yellow Mushroom.
Or yeah, Yellow Mushroom, it's amazing.
I haven't been there yet, but...
It's for fattening food is delicious. But like I said, we don't do that. We all follow nutrition. We have the same conditioning coach. We all have... she has a different type coach. We have the same type coach. We have different boxing coaches. And I'm the overall coach. So, obviously, the results of their fights spoke for themselves, like everybody else.
Yeah, it seems to be working. You just made your debut at Invicta, correct?
Yeah.
You did pretty well there. We've talked to Shannon Knapp a couple of times here on the show. We're big supporters of Invicta. How do you feel about Invicta? I mean, as far as what they do over there and what they stand for.
Well, before I even fought for Invicta, the first show we saw was amazing. We're like, well, maybe I'll get to fight there one day. And after the second one, we were surprised that, I guess after my other fight, they called a couple weeks later.
They called. Yeah, they said, I have an offer for Stephanie. And, for Stephanie. Stephanie for Invicta, 3-fight deal, great offer. She had just got a first championship. She beat, she armbarred Diana Rayl, which is ranked number 8 in the WFC Women's Fighting Championship all the way in Wyoming. And 2 weeks later, invitation from Invicta. And Amy Davis, a little kickboxer, so... I'm really good at developing game plan. I'm awesome at following none. But we studied the game plan. She was a striker. So she's definitely going to jam her, take it to the ground before she realized she was going to be in a choke. And it worked to its perfection. It works perfect. She did exactly, it couldn't have been any better. And immediately after she got submission of the night, and as soon as they announced the second Invicta show, we were the first ones to get a call inviting her back, because she's already fighting the second one, too.
Wow. Yeah, we really like what they're doing over there. I know women are starting to kind of get paid attention to a little bit more.
It's going fast.
Yeah,
within 1 year from right now, women's MMA is going to be the hottest topic talked about more than men. Within a year from today.
See, we kind of agree with you. Yeah. We talk about that all the time. We don't know what it is. Well, we kind of do, but when you watch the women fight, they seem to put more spirit into it. They get in the cage and they just go all out.
You can rate this whatever however you want, but it's not the women, man. They are all bitches and they're all sisters.
And to have another woman beat you at something,
it's personal. I'm a professional trainer, and all the women that read this or see this are going to agree. The only difference they fight harder, they always will fight harder, is because it's a woman fighting a woman. It's different, man. It's a fight. You know? Sometimes you just hit and smile, mm-hmm. and you see how the guys are. It's guys fighting.
Yeah.
A woman fighting another woman, it's already personal from the very beginning.
Right. You're right.
They will fight. They will if they have to resort to help ruling, they will do that. Because in biting, because they're all bitches and they're all sisters, man. But a woman fight, if there's a woman fight in the card, I always say to everybody, keep your eyes open. Don't miss the woman fight. Because it's probably going to be the nastiest one of them all.
They are sometimes the most fun to watch.
They come to annihilate each other. They come to literally put the other one in the morgue.
You got to be prepared to watch, because, she's a perfect example of quickness.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You blink, and it was almost over.
And it's fast, and it's violent. You know, you don't see women's fighting just kind of tippy-toeing. Like, they want to, they come to fight.
Right.
And not only that, the appeal of martial arts can only grow. It's hilarious what they're doing. Everything, every train that grows incredibly fast, what's the tendency also?
Crashes.
Right.
To crash so fast. Every sport, every train in the world, besides fist fighting, is the number one sport ever created by humankind that was watched by gladiators was fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody would stop or slow down a car to watch a fight. Everyone. Mm. So, they have the cheese, in the hands. It's never... Mixed martial arts is never going to take a horrible downfall. Even with as much shows as we have nowadays, every weekend there is 2 or 3 shows.
Yeah.
We cannot go to bed without saying, there's Bellator on TV, there's Strikeforce today, there's another UFC, it's Wednesday, there's a few UFC. What? It's Wednesday, who's fighting? What? There's who's fighting? Such and such. Who is this guy? He's even doing a UFC main event. I don't even know who that person is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's growing so fast, but it still never stopped growing because people will stop to see a fight.
Yep.
What's the only thing that's better than watch two guys fight?
Watching two girls fight.
Boom. Boom. And what's even better if you're watching two girls fight, if they are what?
Attractive.
Boom.
They're good looking. Yeah, it helps.
See, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? For two skilled hot girls fighting, and that's $1 million show that everybody's buying. And also, put a super hot girl fighting, it's a really ugly one, and everybody's cheering for the ugly one to get beat up. It's just so shitty. As if you were going to put this star Bush to fight Ronda Rousey. Who's going to choose? I am saying it. Who's going to cheer for Liz Carmouche? Not me.
It's an unfortunate thing. It's not, I mean, it's the way it is. The way of the freaking world, you know? It's sex sells.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't care what you do or where you are. It does, it's the way it is.
Yeah, true.
And, sorry, you know.
Zoda can say it all she wants, and we can try to stay politically correct, but everybody knows that's how it is. And it's so sad for all these skilled women that are out there. I don't have to say any more names because I'm friends with them, some of them. They're not getting recognition because simply because of the way they look. Zoya has a great chance. Look at Stephanie being already invited back. They're beautiful. Look at what Ronda's doing. Misha gets so much attention. And there's more. There's one. There's a little bit of Michelle Waters. But there's very skilled female fighters out there. Sorry. If you don't look good, you listen to this. You're not making money and you're not being treated like the other female fighters. I know it and it's true. Don't hide it. That's how it is.
Well, it's television.
And for you, and for UFC to sign you, I'm really sorry. It's going to be very, very difficult if you don't look like a bikini model and can fight. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Nobody will see an ugly, ugly woman in the cage getting hurt.
So while we got you here for a few minutes, I'll ask you a couple questions. First of all, what brought you here? What brought you to the States? What brought you here from Brazil?
The weather. I came here hiding, to make a long story short. I wanted to be a fighter. I wanted to be a skateboard. When I was young, my parents bought me the skateboard. I wanted to be a volleyball player. They got me the volleyball. I wanted to be a basketball player. They got me the sneakers. I wanted to be a surfer. They got me the surfboard. I wanted to be a fighter. They said, no. So that's exactly how it happened. So I had to buy my gear with my own allowance money. I had to save money. I started G2 when I turned 15. I was almost 16. I was 15 and a half. And it was like my relationship with Zoya. It took me over. I played varsity, the three sports in Brazil. I played varsity soccer, basketball, and volleyball. The day that I stepped foot in the mat for the first time, I was 15 years old. The very next day, I talked to all my three coaches, and they were going crazy. They called my parents. I quit all three sports, and I did jiu-jitsu twice a day. And here I am now. I was 15, now I'm 35. And that's changed my whole life. First day I stepped foot in there, the next day I quit every single sport that I did, and I never went anywhere without carrying my gear with me. Wanted to be a fighter. My parents said no. Had an international scholarship for international business. My brother was already living here. I tried to transfer. Wright State accepted me. My brother was living in Yellow Springs. I told my parents I wanted to move to America to finish school. I was lying. I just wanted to be left alone so I could pursue my fight career. They said okay. I came here with $2,900 to my name. And Rice State University took me in. And that's all she wrote. That was March 16th of 1998. I stepped foot in Dayton, Ohio.
When you were initially shipped here as a...
I swam in a basketball.
As a foreign exchange student, though.
Yeah, I first came here as a foreign exchange student when I was 15 years old in Chicago, Illinois.
You were shipped here.
Yeah, I came back.
To his hometown.
Yeah, I was in Downers Grove. I was in Downers Grove South High School. When I decided to come back, I was almost 21. Because I really, really, because Hickson Gracie was here. The UFC was already happening here.
Yeah, right.
And Hickson lived in California, and my dream was to meet Hanzo and Hickson, you know? So I know that Hanzo's in New York City. So I tell my parents that I want to come to Ohio. I'm like, Ohio is a lot closer to New York City than Fortaleza, Brazil. You know, and if I want to come here, go to school and train, my parents won't be able to see me.
Right.
I can say that I'm going to school, but I'm actually training. So that's what I did. I looked for a karate school. I said, listen, I'm a six-time state Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu champion. I'm a four-degree blue belt. I went everywhere trying to get a job. And they said, no, do what? I eventually started getting a job, got a job in a karate school. and went from 2 students in 1 year to 3 students in 2nd year to 5 students in 3rd year to 50 the 4th year. And eventually we'll put up my own place in Middletown. This is my 4th location. And I've had my business since, I think, since 2001. Oh. I've had my own school. Still trying. Still doing it. Still fighting.
Jeez.
I don't know if it's a sad story or a good story.
You were in the Ultimate Fighter, and you lost to Jason Von Flew by an unanimous decision, but really, was it a loss?
No.
Yeah, I mean, you went in.
No. I mean, you fought went in injured, correct?
No, I had no...
Are you crazy for doing
that? Yeah, are you nuts?
I would never leave a house. I would never leave. I had to meet, this now I can be out. I had to meet with Dana. They didn't involve me in the middle of the office. And I had to really beg to say, I'm not going to leave this house until somebody beats me in a fight. Yeah, Kerry Shaw had left with a knee injury. There's a bunch of guys leaving all the time. And literally, the way I think still, and the way I thought back then, is that I could beat everybody in this house with one leg. That's my mindset. Until the beginning of the second round of the fight, when I tried to kick and my knee literally just ripped the whole rest of the ACL. That's the first time that I realized that I was actually in trouble, that I might not win the whole show. Was I trying to get up and I had no leg, and I couldn't do anything with that. Just gonna finish the fight, try to box. I could have won the fight if I were a more experienced fighter. If I had decided to stop kicking and just box him, I could have still squeezed the decision because he's just a horrible fighter. I fought with no ACL. I thought I was better, and I learned a lesson. You know, no, don't go fight without an ACL. Even if the power is really, really horrible. Yeah. I'm going to do that.
Still got to give it to you, though. You tried. I mean, a lot of.
Well, I don't give it up to anybody for trying. But thank you.
But I'm just saying, you don't give up.
No,
you know?
No,
and that's
no,
there's
no,
there's something
no,
to be said for that.
No. Not me. Not my wife. Not my mom. Hopefully, never my kids. This is the worst. My worst pet peeve and the worst character trait somebody can have is being a quitter. That's why I was yelling over there.
We noticed that out there.
If you don't have it, I can't even associate or hang out with people that don't have it, an extra something in them. If you're any sort of near a quitter or not a hard worker, most likely you'll never be asked to join us for dinner or hang out with us in the house.
Well, it's one of those things we've talked about it a lot. I mean, anything you do in life, you're going to run into roadblocks. It's how you get past those.
I keep pointing fingers all day about my ACL surgeries, about losing. Sure. I could have, should have, would have been there. What's pointing fingers going to do for me, man? I'm still here. I have my business that I run. I own it. I call the shots. I'm very blessed. I have a great wife, family. Would my career have been more successful if I had been more selfish and focus on me as a fighter as opposed to what everybody else in front of me? Yes. Yes, absolutely. Do I regret this? Absolutely not. I'm meant to be a coach. I'm a great fighter. I'm the best coach.
You know, you did UFC for a little bit. You moved into Strikeforce and everything. I'm sure you've heard the news about Strikeforce recently.
News? What happened?
The Strikeforce, I guess, is closing up shop.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Yeah.
So nervous. Nobody's gonna hire me again.
What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on that? What are gonna happen with the fighters? You know,
do the same thing that you asked me when my fight got canceled. I'll keep a positive attitude. I have my wife to train for a fight. I have my sister to train for a fight. I'm gonna collect those 2 victories for my family. And when it's time for me to fight, I'm pretty sure it's for the UFC again. Monty Cox is going to call my phone, and I'm going to get what I always get, a name, a date, and a location. And I'm going to show up, make weight, and put on a show. Until then, I don't care. I don't speculate. I don't read. I don't see what they're going to do with the fighters. I have so much on my plate that the day that they need me to fight, that phone will ring, and I'll show up and I'll fight.
So is that what will probably happen with some of those fighters? Probably just transfer over and some just...
I think they're going to transfer the popular... And I'm putting myself out there. I think they're going to transfer the good, popular ones that people want to see fight in, and they're going to cut the rest. So I'm either thinking that I'm all that, or I might be cut. We'll see. I'm going.
Now, you train with Rich Franklin often.
No, he trains with me.
Now, how did you guys first meet, and what is a typical training camp with him?
It best way to describe is that he's the yin to my yang. That's how he says it all the time. He called me this morning, finally. He walked into my school. I was friends with Josh Rafferty, and I was always the first one on the mat, the last one out. Always. I had to rule all of my students to get some sort of workout back then. They were so bad, you know, when I first moved here. So Josh Rafferty was already fighting. He was a 20-year-old kid. You know, and I was like, what are you doing fighting MMA? You're a retarded American? Like, back in Brazil, we have to be at least a purple brown belt and ask our sensei to be able to fight to represent the school. And I came here, and everybody's like doing smokers in bars, and I'm like, what are you people doing? Getting paid nothing? No, just for the rush of it. I'm like, Americans with money, midlife crisis, this is ridiculous. Fighting for no pay? A Brazilian would never consider that idea. Never. Josh Rafferty was fighting. Said, I have my guy. I have a friend who's a professional fighter. He has no jiu-jitsu. He wants to come here. He's awesome. He trains all the time. He's awesome. Like, what's his name? Rich Frank. Bring him over here. Whatever. Bring him over. Brought Rich on a Saturday. Again, I did my whole roll with everybody. Rich was a big guy, about 215 pounds, ripped to the bone, young, you know, military cut, real nice. And I rolled everybody. And the last round was obviously with Rich. And we went, and they usually like just destroyed everybody. I could not finish him. I was always close. I had 20 submissions, but he's so slippery, so strong, so much bigger, and such in great condition. So he's a great athlete, in great condition. And he was like escaping everything. We probably rode for an hour straight. Everybody left the school until we called truce. It was truce. You don't call truce. It was called truce. That's it. And done. As soon as I got up, it was Saturday. He looked at me and goes, do you want to go to the gym with me tomorrow? And literally, like, my eyes like a girl that falls in love. I'm like, you lift weights on Sundays too? And he goes, you go to the gym on Sunday? I'm like, you go too? We're like Dumb and Dumber. You know, that was it. That was the first day. He goes, you really want to go to the gym? And he goes, yes, we can do chest and triceps, and then we can maybe hold pads for each other. Dude, I was like fighting my soulmate. I couldn't believe it. I thought I was the only person ever. I went to the gym on Sunday. Yeah, so it was literally like that. It was the first day. He goes, yeah, we can go. We lift weights, and then we hold pads for each other. You learn kickboxing. We're like, deal. And ever since that day, it's been an everyday thing. Every day since. Until today. He's a mile away from here now, hiding away with depression, rightfully. And here I am. And we've been through a long road. It's been a 10-year journey of trips outside, out of the country, to television show, film together, going from seeing Rich not having a bucket to piss on to being, a very successful, wealthy person and popular. And like, it's such a journey, man. You know, me coming from Brazil here and martial arts not being anywhere on the map. MMA wasn't even happening. UFC wasn't on TV when I got here. So I was promoting something that people thought I was a Brazilian crazy person. For trying to teach cage fighting or even promoting cage fighting, because it was not mixed martial arts. It was No Holds Barred, NHB. We used to call it NHB, if you guys remember. Oh, NHB, No Holds Barred. And it was cage fighting. And Rich and I started together. It was just him and I for the first at least 4 years. And it was just him and I every day, twice a day. And now is this, now everybody's fighting, right? Everybody's a fighter. Everybody's in the UFC, whatever.
I'm not in the UFC.
Everybody does UFC.
Everybody does the UFC thing.
You do the UFC? They train UFC.
They train UFC, yeah. So I watch it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, we watch it.
But we're still best friends, and we're still, like I said, we have a lot of memories. It's been, we lived a lot. We see pictures of each other, and we go to his house and goes, man, can you believe this? Or in Japan, or with Billy Rush, or with people that we've been trained forever. Pat Bull attached old pictures, Jeremy Horn. You know, Jens Palmer, Matt Hughes, the only camp it was Pat Miletich's. So we drove that 3-4 times, you know, in the middle of the night, and he had a Toyota Tercel, and we only had the Dixie Chicks, one cassette tape. The three trips that we went to Pat Miletich's, we only drove the freaking Tercel, and I have all Dixie Chicks songs memorized by heart. Because we only had the tapes. Yeah.
Now, people coming to your school expect a world-class training facility. I mean, is that what they're going to get if they walk in the door here? What are they going to get when they walk in the door
here? If I don't have it here, you don't need it. Does that answer your question?
That answers my question. Well, it was a trick question, I guess, for the folks at home. I mean, I stood in here and watched you. The facility here is it's nice. Outstanding yeah. looking. I mean, mm-hmm. it's set up. I love the way it's set up.
Yeah, it's got two levels. Like it? Nice.
What's that?
You really like it?
Yeah. It's nice looking here, man. I love
it. It's small.
I love, yeah, but the way it's set up mm-hmm. is just
it's
nice.
It's sectioned off. Just
how
nice.
How you
Thank
have
you.
It set
up. Yeah, it's very organized.
I'm not a believer of any class, of any structure that is valid being thought divided within two mats. Like people that have two classes in one mat. I don't like that. We have to have this here, unfortunately, for now, before we expand. At night, the kids' class and the adult jiu-jitsu class is in a big red mat over there, mm-hmm. which is separated and still works somewhat well. But I, if I'm talking on a mat, nobody's talking.
Yeah.
So I don't split my mat with anyone. That's why at least I have one class going on here and one on the lower level mm. that can be distinct and not really be interrupted. You know, one is Thai box up there, one is jiu-jitsu over there, there's a cardio over there in the back, and now we have CrossFit.
Yeah, you got ring, mats, cardio, yeah. Puke buckets.
Awesome. Puke buckets, yeah. Oh, that'll tell you a lot.
Math,
I took a picture of one.
Show me your breakfast. One of you guys like, yeah.
I've been there before.
I know how it feels.
we came in today, I spoke with Jeremiah via email, and he told us this was going on today and said, why don't you guys go down? And we were just standing there watching it, and everybody's going through their paces for about 2 hours straight. Not a whole lot of breakage going in. Not making fun of them, that's for sure.
I saw some people, there was at least 6-7 bleeders and about 2-3 puking, and about at least 15 times someone they got knocked down or out. Well, it was a nice day. It was a good day. Good day for mixed martial arts in general and for people to get up and have a gut check. It's good. If they pass or if they don't pass, it's a real good gut check to be able to go through something like this.
Yeah.
You know? And to be actually have your hand shook. Even if you didn't pass it. To say, I appreciate your effort. You did great. And you walk out of here with your head high. You know, I'm not going to take everybody.
Right.
But to come here and show that kind of effort on a Saturday morning for... to get punched by professionals and come here and go bleed and then go home, you have to have some sort of desire. So nobody that's just a poser is going to show up here for tryouts. Those guys are serious, and the two guys that deserved it, they got the memberships.
Yeah, because if any posers would have walked in, I'm sure they would have turned around and walked back.
I asked for quitters. Someone give me one quit at least so I can continue with my day. But no, nobody quit today.
There you go. Well, I guess we'll ask this of all three of you, just since we got all three of you here. And we know the answer a little bit to some of these, but just for our listeners at home. You guys want to mention any upcoming fights or events you have going on?
If you can.
That's
okay. Yeah, Brett told us that...
he told us...
You would say whatever you decided you wanted to say.
Stephanie's fighting. Opponents to be announced because you don't care who the opponent is because she's beating her anyway. So Stephanie's fighting December 7th.
No, I'm fighting.
She's fighting
January 5th. So it is December 7th. And
I'm fighting December
7th. Yeah.
Yay!
Let's fight very close. Then from that camp, we jump straight to Stephanie's camp. Mm-hmm. Go back to Kansas City. Our families know this. It's important for everybody to know this. Our families is a little bit of crisis because. It was only me that maybe holidays I couldn't go, maybe holidays I could. A fighter never knows when you're going to be called.
Right.
And now the three of us, the three fighters, I just told my mom, we had plans on going to New York, from New York going to North Carolina to see all my family from North Carolina fly to Fresno to spend the end of to California, yeah, to spend the rest of the Christmas and New Year's with her family. We canceled all holiday plans, including Thanksgiving. It's all training camp. I'm looking at the end of January. Not supposed to say speculations that the Strike Force and I'm back with. Hopefully, I'm back with the UFC and I'm fighting at the end of January. That's speculation, so I'm not counting until I get a phone call.
Right.
Zoila's first. It's all I care about. My whole entire focus and energy is my wife's camp. And then it'll shift immediately to Stephanie's camp.
So we got December 7th at Bellator for Zoila.
And then
January 5th for you.
That's my attention span. And, that's all I live for. My attention span stops January 5th.
Do you have any other fighters out in the gym?
I do. But I just got done running a 5 six people camp that fought pretty much the same weekend.
Yeah.
Wow.
Six people. Yeah, I developed six game plans. I had to run six camps by myself because Tommy was injured and depressed. He's my team captain, Tommy here. And I had to do it alone, and it was very, very difficult, and we came out with five wins.
Awesome.
And that was great. Yeah, we won. Until Rich lost, we were going on a 14-0 professional winning streak. But all winning streaks, the whole point is to be broken. So eventually somebody's going to lose. I have Zoila only. Only. And my guys know. I'm even going to Michigan. I don't care. It's my family. They should know that.
Right.
It's my wife. She's the world champion. She's the world champion. I would have given... If I could have, or if I decided to, I would have left with Rich to China. So they have to understand when she's the world champion, it's not a family. It is a family thing, but it's also, she's the champion of the world. She demands my attention. She's my wife. She's going to get all of my attention. Until December 7th, you guys are on your own. They got to be self-motivated. It was horrible last week having a conversation with my guys about that. Okay. I'm out of here, guys. You guys have to do work alone. Or you're going to go to work at Starbucks. I had this conversation all the time. You have to have a plan B. The life, the average life of a UFC fighter now is three fights. If after those three fights and you get cut, the chances of being rehired by the UFC are very slim. If you don't get rehired, what the hell are you going to do with your life? Mm-hmm. You go back to Starbucks to work at Sam's Club, stocking stuff and third shift? They got to be self-motivated. So I heard that the training was okay Thursday. Zoila was perfect in Michigan. And as soon as she's done winning, and go straight to Stephanie. Make sure she's doing everything perfect. And then when I get a call, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it because I'm busy, guys, and I'm tired.
Well, luckily, it looks like you got some great people here that work with you. We met a couple of the guys out there. They all seemed like a hell of a bunch of guys out there.
I love my life, man. I wouldn't change my life for anybody's life. I love being me, and I love having my life, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of great guys, they're awesome people, but it's like taking care of a bunch of teenage, crazy, ADD-infested fighter wannabes, you know? And they are real fighters, but it's like, it's a full-time job. Like, my pros do not produce just 100% of its capability, their capabilities, if I'm not here yelling. It's impossible, it doesn't happen. So, it's a great job. They, oh yes, professor, no professor, they do everything I say. But it's work. It's work.
Somebody's got to be in charge.
Somebody's not a democracy up here. Never will be. And, you know, it's strong leadership, and I like it because I see the results. But it's not easy. I go home, I flop. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. It's a great job. It's a great job with a lot of, makes me feel great. You know, a lot of great feelings. Every time a fighter wins a fight and I know that I help that or I train them, I get the same high as me winning a fight. But don't think for a second that running a school and running a bunch of guys in the highest level there is, Tommy, Jason Butcher, Chris, Zoila, Stephanie, man, and male and female, Rich Franklin, and still fighting, it's hard.
I'm a job on its own.
It's a job. She's a job. She has. being a coach for pro fighters is a job on its own. Running a business is not a job. And then being a professional fighter is still at the highest level is another job.
Yeah.
But I'm only one person. But I still like it a lot. Because nobody doesn't know what to do.
There you go.
So where can everybody find you online? Do you have Facebook, Twitter?
Twitter is George Gugel together. Always posting something, keeping everybody updated with our lives, me and my family, my school, so very easy. Enjoy Twitter a lot. Don't really read what anybody reads, so just write what I'm thinking and continue living my life.
There you go.
But Twitter, yeah.
Matt, you guys have your own set of the ladies?
We have our own. Stephanie's is under Stephanie Frosto. Mine's Zoila Grugel.
No.
George Grugel. Oh, Stephanie.
What? Stephanie Facebook. Macadina.
Yeah, we all have Facebook, we all have Twitter, and we all have, we have our websites, georgegrugel.com and zoilagrugel.com, but it needs to be fixed up a little bit, so.
A lot of work to do, fights coming up, with a web designer, a guy designing the shirts, somebody coming out with logos, somebody working the sponsors, somebody getting her ready to fight.
A lot of work.
It is, man.
But at least I don't have to work anymore, so that's a good thing, too.
Yeah.
Living the dream.
Her job, her full-time job is to be a professional champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than that.
You know? I actually really liked my job until I started fighting, and then I took some time off because I was allowed time off. I used to deal at a casino. It was one of the easiest, well-paid jobs you could ever have. And they would let me go fight part-time and train when I wanted to, but I took some time off to fight to come out here. And then by the time I went back, I was like, I really don't like people telling me what to do. Especially when, like, I'm usually punching people in the face. It's just not what I wanted to do. I wanted to not be told what to do anymore. So,
yeah, we know that feeling.
I feel that. I feel
that.
I was fortunate enough to have a husband now that owns his own school. But I actually liked working. And I liked bringing in my own. But now where I am in my career, I have to fight full time. You know, these girls are gonna come in almost doing pretty much the same thing, fighting full time, and I want to be able to give my all, my best. I can always go back to doing anything else that I want to do. So.
Right.
You've tuned in to the Takedown MMA Radio.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
All righty, well, Stu picked this time to walk out of the room. So it's just Casey and I right now. But again, we want to thank those guys for the interview. It was awesome getting to talk to him, getting to meet him. Great group of people. We met a few other people while we were there, and we had some invites, which was really cool to come out to Michigan and watch some of the guys train and stuff. Who knows? We might actually do that.
No.
We're going to be getting around this year, so if you've got an event or something coming up, please let us know, and we will try to get out and maybe check it out if all things go right. Again, JavuMedia.com. It's our parent company. If you guys have been listening to this, you know at this point. But we design things like logos, T-shirts, commercials, things along those lines. Help set you up with social media, things like that. So you can go over and check that out.
Oh, and also we're switching feeds.
Yeah. Thank you. We are going to be switching feeds very, very soon. Basically, again, I said I'd mention it every week, so if you've heard it, you've heard it, but I don't know what else to tell you. For about a month, through the month of December, this show will be on two feeds. After that, it'll only be on the new feed. If you're listening on through iTunes, you just got to go in and hit subscribe to the new feed once it's up. If you're listening streaming off the website, probably not a lot will change for you. You'll still keep listening over there. Mm-hmm. And if by some chance you're downloading from Podomatic, well, I'll give you the new feed when it comes up, and you'll have to go there to download. So we will let you know when that happens, but it's coming up very soon. It all stems from storage and a few options that they're giving us and the fact that I've been having a heck of a time getting the show to go up properly lately. But mostly storage. It's just too big to keep storing stuff there, and it's been kind of a pain. I hate to do it, but it's the way it is. With that, a few changes. Nothing major will be happening to the show. We're working on some new stuff. If you have anything you'd like to hear or whatever, you know, let us know and we'll see what we can do. There's a big one that I want to start integrating in a lot, and I got a few people in mind for that. It won't be one of us. It'll be somebody else that'll come in for a few minutes each week. Probably 3 or 4 minutes, kind of like what the Cage Report is, but with somebody who actually knows what they're talking about.
Yay!
But yeah, and please start calling us, leave us messages, 513-407-4849, because I'm going to start compiling those. Nobody has, so here's my threat. If you don't start leaving us voicemails and emails, I'm going to have to... I'm gonna have to start putting a lot more sketches on here. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, we're
maybe
gonna
they
get
like
the free
them.
Stuff.
I don't know. You guys gonna have to start getting in contact with us.
Talk to us.
You were and then you weren't, and we don't know why. But because we're gonna be giving away free stuff, so we need you for that. Again, follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Speaking of Facebook, Girls and Geese did put a posting up there saying that they got an event coming up here real soon in December. So if you're in the Texas area, I'm not exactly sure, was it Dallas or Houston or something?
Well, they take through all throughout the state, if I recall.
They're having another event. I think it's like December 11th.
I thought it was like Fort Worth.
Hold on, keep talking. I'll find them.
But they did put a posting on her Facebook, and I did share it out. So,
by the way, girlsingeese.com. It's girls-in-geese.com. Let me see what they got going on. December 2nd.
Okay.
Sunday, December 2nd. It's really small, so this one takes place in Houston. It's going to be Elite MMA in Houston, Texas. I can give you an address on that. It's 10640 Westheimer Road. Again, you can go to girlsingeese.com. That's girls-in-geese.com. And I don't see a phone number for you to call, but I can maybe...
No, go to the website for sure if you want to get information.
Yeah, it's all up there. There's a contact. It's an email contact, but you can fill it out right there and get information. We talked to the Girls in Geese a while back. If you guys don't know what they are, it's literally... They just invite girls who practice jiu-jitsu from all across Texas. And they don't care if you come in from another state, but it's all across Texas from different schools. They come in for these seminars.
It's just training.
And it's free. And it's free training where you get to sit down with
train with other girls.
Other girls. And it becomes this big camaraderie, and you get to learn stuff that you maybe have never experienced before.
Right. I mean, it's a more male-dominated world out there, so rolling with just girls is kind of... hard to find every now and again. So
right.
It gives them a chance to go with someone their own size and their capability and so forth.
Yeah, and a lot of it's... There's not as many women that practice BJJ as men, and so they're trying to give women an opportunity to get to come every once in a while and train with other women, maybe. And when we interviewed them, you know, they said they've had girls that have just started to girls that have been doing it for a long time. And it's a nice, everybody who comes in the door is welcome, and it's a really great thing. So, again, that's December 2nd. You can go to their website. If you Google Girls in Geese, it's like the first thing that pops up.
And I believe it's free, but...
The seminars are usually free.
Okay.
It's women only, though.
Women only. I don't think even spectators are... Men are not allowed.
And it starts at noon. This is like their third year celebration, by the way. That's what this event is. So it's Sunday, December 2nd, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. So it's like a three-hour thing where you get to go together and roll. And
so if you're out in the Texas area or something, then, hey, guys, get your girl to go out there. You know, kind of let her practice before Christmas or something.
There you go. Glad you brought it up, dude.
But also, anyone out there, the Facebook is free to post on.
Yeah, in other words, Stu's saying if you follow us on Facebook, you can post anything.
Keep it clean,
though. Yeah, keep it clean, especially if you have events or you're training. Maybe you're going to be fighting. Stu,
fundraisers of some sort.
You can post it on our Facebook page. Stu's open to that. If you do a search for the Takedown MMA Radio, you'll find us on Facebook, not a problem. We are at the Takedown MMA on Twitter.
Just make sure you get in contact with me first before you start posting a bunch of stuff, because I know Girls in Geese already talked to us. We are
sure.
I gave them free form to just do whatever they wanted, but just give me a heads up so that way I just don't see someone just randomly just putting crap all over it.
And the Facebook and the Twitter are really, really good ways to keep up with stuff, because we give you stuff on the show. There's literally stuff going on in our world all week long, and Stu is really good about posting updates. So Facebook and Twitter are really good places. Not just takedown stuff going on, fights and events and fighters. We're constantly updating stuff. Stu's really good about that on Facebook. So if you're a fighter or you know a fighter, it really behooves you to follow us on Facebook, because Stu will post your crap. Like, I mean, your pictures, your events, when you win.
Almost religiously up to the night of the fight.
Yeah. So, and even then, the wins, the lot, you know, he's good about that stuff. So, Facebook, Twitter, the takedownradio.com, there's one button clicks to get you to both, the bottom of the homepage, not hard to find. But we are at the Takedown MMA on Twitter. And then You can search for Stuart Diamond on Facebook and like the page through there. I think I'm Jay Caudill on Facebook. And
it's just the Takedown Radio on Facebook.
I'm Jay Emmett on Twitter, and I've been getting a lot of followers lately. J-A-Y-E-M-M-I-T-T on Twitter, so you can feel free to follow us over on those as well. Stu is Motley Stu, I think, on
Motley underscore
Stu. On Twitter. I don't know. Casey Masterpiece. That's
peace,
like
peace,
peace, love, Parcheesi.
Yeah.
But again, we thank Zoila and George and Stephanie for sitting down with us this week. And we thank all you guys for listening. Please follow us. And again, if you're out in the Chicago area, let us know. We'd love to meet up, have a drink, grab something to eat. So
it's going to be a good time. Maybe I need it. We need to try to get a hold of Felice.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz
Navidad.
Make that happen.
Feliz Navidad. They'll be happy.
Feliz Navidad.
I
want to
wish
you. Are you holding your mic with your belly fat?
Yeah.
Are you seriously?
Shut up. I have seen you rest many a thing on your belly
fat. I used to just...
I've seen you sit your cell phones on there. You'll be sitting there talking on the show and sit your cell phone. You'll reach down, pick it up.
You lazy son.
Hold on. Nobody at home can see this, but Stu will do this. He picks the phone up, texts on it, sits it right back down on the belly.
It's usually because I'm laying backwards. He's almost upright.
Oh, not really.
Which one of you? Are you sitting in my old chair?
Yes.
Yeah. It's more comfortable for me. It's just I needed to be up higher until I get a new mic stand, so there you go. But nobody cares. Thanks, guys, for listening. We appreciate it. Keep listening. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Call us, 513-407-4849. Write us thetakedownshow@gmail.com.
Hey, and also follow Robert White, Raw37White, on Twitter.
Raw.
And he's also on Facebook.
Is his middle initial really an A? Because that's awesome if it is. Robert A. White is Raw, R-A-W.
Oh.
Yeah. And he is a second.
And I'm telling you guys, man, you want to come out and watch him make his debut at Bellator because this dude's a badass, and I'm really looking forward to this fight.
So follow him on there if you don't, because he retweets a lot
and
of stuff.
A hell of a nice guy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, great guy.
We did a photo and video shoot with him and a couple other guys.
Went smooth.
I had a ball. I had so much fun out there with them. We laughed so hard, and it was just great. So, but I think that's it. Until next time, guys, remember to keep
kicking ass.
Yeah, there you go.
Woo.